travel this land to the Rocky Mountains, travel this land to the prairies wide. Travel this land to the Great Lakes shine, and travel this land side by side.
It's time to travel this land with Canada's balladeer, Wiz Bryant. On today's program, Wiz takes us to the Red River Valley in the present site of Winnipeg for the incredible true story of the first farmers on the Canadian prairies in the Selkirk Reel.
Before Selkirk settlers reached the Red River Valley in the summer of 1812, the Canadian prairies were the exclusive domain of the Indians, the Métis, and the rival fur trading companies. These Scottish settlers were poverty-stricken farmers from the highlands of Scotland. Thomas Douglas, known as Lord Selkirk, had been granted shares in the Hudson's Bay Company and had got personal title to a large region of land, including much of southern Manitoba. Selkirk wanted to help these poor Scottish farmers, or crofters as they were called. He financed their colonization of the Red River, and the first group of colonists sailed into Hudson's Bay in 1811, bound for the Red River Valley.
Pipers are leading the way, plain Scottish reels at frozen break of day. The ships have left us here on the shores of Hudson Bay, and we're bound for the Red River Valley. To Scotland's land we now bid farewell. What the future holds, there is no man to tell. We're off on a march 700 miles or more down the wild Churchill River.
They spent their first winter at the Hudson's Bay post called York Factory, and in the spring journeyed by boat 200 miles up the Hayes River to Oxford House, then down Lake Winnipeg to the Red River, arriving in the summer of 1812. They called their first settlement Point Douglas, in honor of their benefactor, Lord Selkirk, and appointed their leader, Miles MacDonell, as their first governor of the colony. Unfortunately, for these first settlers on the Canadian prairie, they were not welcomed with open arms by the Métis fur traders and buffalo hunters. The Northwest Company was convinced the settlers were a ploy of the rival Hudson's Bay Company to disrupt their fur trade routes. The Métis were basically a new race of people, descended from the intermarriage of French fur traders with the Cree people of the plains. They lived by the fur trade and the buffalo hunt, and they were filled with hostility and suspicion of these Scottish farmers and their colony. The leader of the Métis was a Northwest Company clerk named Cuthbert Grant. Under his leadership, the Métis began to terrorize the settlers. The settlers' first years were incredibly difficult. They had to battle not only the harassment of the Métis, but also the long, cold prairie winters and the hot, dry summers.
We onward go, build our houses on the plains of the buffalo. Raise our voices high as the hills whisper low. We're the sons of the Selkirk settlers. We'll plant our wheat in Canada's soil. In the sweat of our backs, we free men shall toil. The crofter's chains we'll never wear again. We're the sons of the Selkirk settlers.
In June of 1815, 42 farmers deserted the Red River colony for Upper Canada, now called Ontario. The Métis harassment and the other hardships had beaten them. Those who remained were shot at, had their cattle stolen, and their barns burned to the ground. More and more settlers gave up the fight and left. Finally, only 16 settlers remained in the colony. Cuthbert Grant rode up and ordered the remaining settlers off their land. They were taken by the Métis to Jack River House at the north end of Lake Winnipeg. The Métis returned to the colony and trampled the settlers' wheat fields and burnt their cabins to the ground. But the settlers were not ready to quit. I come from Scottish blood myself, the Fraser clan, which are also Highlanders, so I think I know a little bit about Scottish stubbornness. The colonists returned to the Red River in late August of 1815. With 84 new colonists and 40 laborers. Their leader was a Hudson's Bay Company clerk named Colin Robertson. Robertson was a man who understood the Métis. He empathized with their way of life, and he was a man who could win their trust. This he did. He invited them to sip wine with him by his fire on the long winter nights, and began to impress them with the fact that the settlers could provide them with a good market for their pemmican, which was dried buffalo meat. Unfortunately, Lord Selkirk soon sent a new governor to the colony who undid all of Robertson's efforts. His name was Robert Semple, and he was a cold, hard man who destroyed the trust that Robertson had inspired. It was Semple's mismanagement and poor politics that brought the struggling colony to its darkest moment, what history now calls the Seven Oaks Massacre. Cuthbert Grant and the Métis had seized a canoe load of pemmican that the Hudson's Bay Company was sending downriver to the colonists. There is no indication that they were looking for a fight, however. On June 19, 1816, they were in fact taking the pemmican overland around the Point Douglas colony when Governor Semple, with 25 armed settlers on foot, came out to meet them. Grant and his Métis were all on horseback, and they burst out of the bush towards Semple. One of the riders rode out to talk to Semple. There were some angry words, and Semple apparently tried to grab the rider's gun. As this was happening, one of the Métis broke formation, and a settler fired on him. Suddenly, the battle was on. The Métis charged the settlers on horseback, and within a few minutes, 20 settlers lay dead, including Governor Semple. No Métis were killed, and only 5 settlers survived to tell the tale. Three days later, the terrified colonists abandoned the Red River for the second time, taking refuge at Norway House, another Hudson's Bay post on Lake Winnipeg. Lord Selkirk had had enough by this time. He personally led a private army of veterans from the War of 1812.
We'll weather the drought, we'll survive the flood, we'll outlive the hate that spilled our father's blood. Our children shall run, happy and free, on the banks of the shining Red River.
They headed west and captured the Northwest Company headquarters at Fort William, which is today called Thunder Bay. In May of 1817, he arrived at Point Douglas and rebuilt the settlement. The colonists were brought back from Norway House. In the fall, he returned east to Montreal with Métis prisoners and officers and clerks of the Northwest Company. Both sides laid charges, and the ensuing court battle dragged on for 2 years. By 1819, the court case had seriously drained the finances of both the Northwest Company and Selkirk, who was now gravely ill with lung disease. But the worst was over for the Selkirk settlers. In 1821, the Northwest Company agreed to be assimilated into the Hudson's Bay Company, and Cuthbert Grant went to work for them. In the 1820s, the colony grew rapidly, spreading along the Red River to Lake Winnipeg. The settlers still had to battle with nature, however. Their crops were attacked by wind and drought, frost and grasshoppers. Wolves, dogs, and blizzards killed their cattle, and for 2 consecutive summers, clouds of grasshoppers ravaged their wheat fields. In the winters of 1825 and 1835, buffalo hunters were frozen to death in a blizzard. In the spring of 1826, a sudden thaw brought on one of the famous Red River floods, completely destroying their farms once again. But they hung on, and they survived. And eventually, they flourished. By 1850, the west of the fur trader and the wild, free life of the Métis were disappearing forever from the plains of the prairie, which now belonged to the farmer, the sons and daughters of the Selkirk settlers.
The Highland pipers are leading the way. Plain Scottish reels at frozen break of day. The ships have left us here on the shores of Hudson Bay, and we're bound for the Red River Valley. To Scotland's land we now bid farewell. What the future holds, there is no man to tell. We're off on a march 700 miles or more down the wild Churchill River. Thank you.
to the buffalo. Raise our voices high as hills whisper low. Where the sons of the Selkirk settlers will plant our wheat in Canada's soil. In the sweat of our backs, we free men shall toil. The crofter's chains we'll never wear again. We're the sons of the Selkirk settlers. We'll outlive the hate that spilled our father's blood. Our children shall run happy and free on the banks of the shining Red River.
You've been traveling this land with Canada's singing storyteller, Whiz Bryant. Please feel free to write to us with your comments. We would be delighted to hear from you. Thank you for listening. And join us again next time for another fascinating Canadian tale in story and song as we continue to travel this land.
Travel this land to the Fraser Delta, travel this land to the Arctic Sea. Travel this land where the wild loons call, and travel this land, come along with me. Travel this land, take my hand and travel this land.
Travel this land to the Yukon River, travel this land to Prince Edward Isle.
Travel this land to the Gulf Stream waters, travel this land and travel in style.
Travel this land so wild and grand, take my hand and travel this land.
Travel this land to Baffin's Island, travel this land to Hudson's Bay.
Travel this land so full of wonder, travel this land to a brighter day. Travel this land, take my hand and travel this land. Travel this land, travel this land. Travel this land.
The Highland Pipers are leading the way, playing Scottish reels at the frozen break of day. The ships have left us here on the shores of Hudson Bay, and we're bound for the Red River Valley. To Scotland's land we now bid farewell, but the future holds, there is no man to tell. We're off on a march 700 miles or more down the wild Churchill River. On the plains of the buffalo.